John DiLiberto, and you're hearing the Echoes podcast from PRX. I've got two features for you today. We're going to hear about Quiet Resonance. He is one of those bedroom artists who needs to be pulled out into the light. Quiet Resonance is Tony Pounders. He's from Mississippi, and he's creating some beautiful layered electric guitar landscapes down there. But he has a secret you may not realize from his music. Our second feature is a bonus. You'll recall that last week I gave you our complete interview with Ashley Capps, the founder of the Big Ears Festival. Today I've got the produced radio broadcast version of that interview with music as we talked about this year's festival. And I challenged Ashley to come up with his pathway through a festival with multiple scheduling conflicts, especially for the eclectic attendee. That's all coming up. Before that, though, I want to remind you to save money this week, because next week is Echo's Spring Fund Drive. You know, we are a nonprofit dependent on donations and grants in addition to station fees, and there are no station fees for the podcast. So we come to you to support what you listen to. This fund drive will be new for us because we have gifts. A donation might get you a selection of CDs from our CD of the Month picks. You could get a complete set of recordings by Hammock or David Helpling, or Steve Roach's 40th anniversary edition of Structures from Silence, a triple CD. That's all coming next week. You won't hear this on the air. We can't do that, so be sure to sign up for the Echoes newsletter at echoes.org/contact-echoes-2. That's echoes.org/contact-echoes-2, or just go to echoes.org. Okay, let's get to some of those reasons you should support us, such as discovering your next favorite artist like Quiet Resonance. We don't get a lot of music for Echoes out of Mississippi, a state that's got a rich music tradition, but just not for ambient, new age, or electronic music. But there is one artist there who has been extremely prolific. He records as Quiet Resonance. That name may be too appropriate. Even though he's released around 100 recordings, he has virtually no presence.
Well, I'm good at staying under the radar. I must be the poster boy for introversion. I don't know. I like being in the back.
That's a shame, because his music should be in front. Quiet Resonance is Tony Pounders. I'm speaking to him from his home studio, a small bedroom in Biloxi, Mississippi, on the Riverside app. He's approaching his 60th birthday with short, thinning, salt and pepper brown hair, round black glasses, and wearing an Energizer Bunny t-shirt and blue jeans that look like they earned their rips and tears. He only started releasing music in 2017. Stardom was not on his radar.
My dad was a musician, and I don't have any recordings of him, even though I played with him in a couple of groups. And I said, I'm going to record some stuff just so my kids and grandkids have this, you know, later on. And that's how it started, John.
Tony Pounders grew up with music.
Dad was into bluegrass pretty heavy, like country and southern gospel. That was Dad's forte. He was self-taught, and that was Dad's approach to teaching. His approach was, well, you either have it or you don't. And so he showed me three chords, what they call the cowboy chords, the open chords. He said, all right, if you want it, you'll do it every day, every day. And my dad had an old Kingston 12 string made in Japan. That was all we had in the house. 12 strings, that's what I started on. Oh, killed my fingers, but I was determined and I stayed with it.
He did stick with it, but in 2005 he put it all down and sold his guitar and amplifier. He had another calling.
God is a poet. You know that, don't you? We just sang the song, Mold Me and Make Me. I'm the potter, you're the clay. The Greek word for make, or when it says God made us, is poema, which we get the word poem from. We are God's poem, and God is a poet. He's probably, without a doubt, the best. And actually,
That's Tony Pounders at the pulpit giving a sermon at the First United Methodist Church in Biloxi.
I create music on the side, but my legitimate work is I pastor in the United Methodist Church. At 17, I felt that was the direction for me to go, and so I pursued that straight off through college and graduate school. That just felt like the place that I needed to be.
He's still doing that, but in 2008, he began sneaking back into music.
My youngest daughter, she wanted to sing, and she wanted to sing in church, and she said, but Dad, I want you to play. And I said, well, I don't have any equipment. And she said, well, I'm not going to sing if you don't play. So I bought an acoustic, and I accompanied her. And I had a friend who was a drummer and played for some bands around town. He said, you know, you really need to get your equipment back and start playing. And I put it off until 2017. And my wife said, you know, get a guitar. I said, yeah, but you know, if I get a guitar, it's a rabbit hole. You know, we got to go down. And she said, you get it. So I did. I bought my first Fender Strat Standard, American Standard.
Pounders started recording, he was deep into a more ambient sound where the guitar didn't sound like a guitar. You can hear it on his debut release, Someplace Else.
Yeah, Someplace Else. I was heavy into the volume swell stuff because I had heard that as far back as Rush. What was it, 2112, Farewell to Kings. Alex Lifeson was using volume swell. And I said, what is he doing? You know, we'd have YouTube back then. And we're hearing this, and I'm like, what is he doing? And I couldn't figure it out. And so now I've got volume pedals, and I know what that is.
As quiet resonance, Pounder's music quickly evolved, creating intricate layered guitar tracks that were more pastoral than spacey. As you progress through his dozens of recordings, the sound became more layered.
I like things to cascade. So you're hearing the layers. I'll tell you the album that influenced that was Def Leppard's Hysteria. When Hysteria came out, I just went bananas. That was years ago. I was in graduate school, and I'm saying, how in the world are these guys doing this? There's only two guitarists, and I'm hearing all this stuff. What's happening? So I'm trying to get my hands on this, and I got a hold of a magazine, guitar magazine, and Phil Collin was giving an interview. And Phil Collins said, man, on some of these things, there's 12 tracks of guitar. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding. That's what you're doing. Wow. Okay. Hadn't thought of that.
Tony Pounders creates many of his tracks as tone poems, inspired by elements he's come across in life.
Everything to me is a soundtrack. Everything that happens, I'm thinking, wow, this music would, boy, that would go with that. And I'm just thinking musically about everything.
That's the basis of his recent album, Flight Patterns.
I spent a week in Nicaragua, and when I got back, I just sat down and all of that experience just came out. That was just all of my musical expression of being in Nicaragua. It was better for me to do that than to talk about it because I couldn't express it except in music. So when I started playing and recording, it was like all these years were just coming out, all this stuff.
As much as he's into Black Sabbath, Rush, and ambient music, you can still hear the country and bluegrass of his early years in his phrasing, picking style, and timbres.
Oh, that's what I grew up around. You know, Northeast Mississippi, where I was born, is really the Appalachian foothills. It's part of Appalachia. And so that music is there, and they still to this day gather around courthouses and have bluegrass music, you know, bands come.
Most of his music is on the mellow side, but Pounders gets his yayas out on a few releases like Duck Fat Fries.
That's a Louisiana thing. That's a Cajun thing. There's a restaurant here in town. It's really an upscale restaurant that uses farm produce and things. And we took the family up for Easter, and we had duck fat fries. And I said, my God, this would make a great album. I took a picture of them. That's probably what's on the album covers, the picture I took. I was just being crazy. John, a lot of that was just me saying, I like this music. Could I do it? Is this something I could do?
Although Tony Pounders is a pastor, he doesn't bring religious imagery into his music much.
Some of it may be oblique, yeah. It's not direct.
It turns up on tracks like Falling Upward from his album Prospects for Wisdom.
The name for that came from a book that I was reading. That's the name of the book, Falling Upward. It's about a spiritual journey. And that's where the titles for those songs came from, is out of the spiritual journey. Reading. That song was the whole reason for that album. I hadn't played. I had come back from an extended time off playing. And I sat down and I plugged everything up and I said, I'm going to do something different. So I went back to a template that I had not used in a long time and I opened the template up and I started playing. And I thought, gosh, this really sounds good. And so I added the sub bass into it and I kept going. And it was just like, where did this come from? Man, I hadn't felt this good in a while playing.
Tony Pounders doesn't play his music live. In fact, he rarely plays live at all, except in local jam sessions. And that's mostly blues and country. But after Sunday Mass, he's in his small home studio sculpting guitar scapes alone. there's no community around him to support or collaborate in his music. Because, as I said, there's not a lot of music like this coming out of Mississippi.
No, there's nothing. I'm alone, John. Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, because there are a couple guys up in Starkville. That's where Mississippi State University is. And a couple of guys found me through listening to Echoes. And they contacted me and they said, man, we were glad to hear your music. And said, we have a little music project that we're doing together. And they said, we can't believe this is coming out of Mississippi. You're not the first one.
Hopefully, I won't be the last one. The music of Quiet Resonance and Tony Pounders deserves to be heard. Quiet Resonance is dropping new music every other day, it seems, challenging Steve Roach and Bill Nelson for being overly prolific. Only days after our interview, he dropped a new album, Endless Beginnings. I'll have a link to it in the posting for this podcast at echoes.org. Now, let's get to Big Ears. Ashley Capps may be one of the most innovative concert promoters of the last 20 years. He founded the Bonnaroo Festival in 2002 and produced the two best Moog Fests, as well as the Mountain Oasis Music Festival. But Big Ears is his passion project, so much so that he gave up those other gigs to form a nonprofit to produce it. Big Ears is one of the most ear-challenging as well as one of the most civilized festivals, taking place in downtown Knoxville in multiple enclosed venues, from large concert halls to small clubs and a few odd locations as well. Every year, Ashley and I sit across from each other on screen and survey the Big Ears landscape. Another year and another Big Ears Festival, this time taking place between March 21st and 24th in its home setting of Knoxville, Tennessee. This is a meeting of music from across the spectrum, but mostly on the bleeding edge of contemporary sounds. And as we've done every year since 2015, I sat across the screen on the Riverside app talking to Big Ears founder Ashley Capps. He is riding high after two post-pandemic successes in a row.
Last year was the largest attendance that we've ever had. We expanded the festival considerably by adding a 2,400 capacity venue, which was the Knoxville Civic Auditorium. We did this because we sold out in advance, about 5 weeks in advance in 2022.
The Big Ears Festival schedule is all set, but there are always late changes and additions.
It's funny because, to me, the festival is always a little bit of a living, breathing thing. And, you know, at some point, inevitably, the time arrives and it coalesces into whatever it is for that year. But, you know, even this year, there's been an evolution.
One part of the evolution was the addition of Andre 3000 only a few weeks ago. The rapper, who came to renown with Outkast, is currently getting a lot of attention with his all-instrumental, flute-based album, New Blue Sun.
I think the initial call came just before Christmas. I was as surprised as anyone. I certainly had listened to the record. I knew about the record. We had spoken in the office about how amazing it would be if Andre 3000 were to come to Big Ears. But at that point, there was actually no clear indication that he was going to be touring. We got the call, and the conversation started. And frankly, initially, we were so deep into the scheduling and planning of the festival that I really didn't know how we were going to be able to make it work. You know, it really wasn't until early February that it all finally came into focus about how we could create a residency, not unlike the residencies that he did in New York and Chicago and out on the West Coast and in Atlanta, that still fit into the overall festival concept. And again, you know, here's an artist who you know, is an amazing, groundbreaking artist as a rapper with Outkast, and who boldly takes this artistic left turn that is aesthetically also an artistic left turn that speaks very deeply to the Big Ears aesthetic to me.
Big block of music at the festival will be consumed by Blacktronica. That's a set of concerts curated by electronic producer King Britt.
I first started working with King back in the days that I was producing Moogfest in Asheville, North Carolina. So he came to Moogfest, that was back in 2010, 11, 12. Through the interaction that we started then, we started talking about his Blacktronica programs, which, you know, he's teaching a course at the University of California in San Diego on Blacktronica. And, of course, this is a world that he's not only deeply involved in, he's one of the pioneers of, going back into the 1980s. So, you know, we started bantering about ideas, and I was like, take this and roll with it.
King Britt has brought in artists like DJ Heather, Susie Analog, and techno legend Carl Craig. Laurie Anderson returns to the festival for the third time, and like every time, this constantly evolving artist is different. Winner of a Lifetime Achievement Award at this year's Grammys on her Let X Equal X tour, she is casting back across her career.
Oh, Superman. Oh, John.
I hesitate to call it a retrospective because while it draws from her entire career, going back to the classic records she made, you know, Big Science and Mr. Heartbreak, it also is utterly contemporary. You know, there is nothing about this show that feels even remotely nostalgic. In fact, it is almost disturbingly of the moment in terms of what those older pieces even invoke. And she's working with Sex Mob, Stephen Bernstein's band, and, you know, they just put a new spin and a new energy on these pieces. So it's great to see her revisit this old work, but it is, you know, a completely, it's a performance for now.
Yeah, well, that's Lori. But nevertheless, there's some video on YouTube, and it's those pieces that she's playing. And I was thinking, you know, there's two generations, maybe more, they never got to see her do any of that stuff live.
Exactly. I had seen her do it, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've had an opportunity to see Laurie perform dozens of times. And, you know, I never get tired of it. You know, I never feel like I've seen the same show twice.
Because you haven't seen the same show twice.
Exactly.
Good evening. This is your captain. We are about to attempt a crash landing. Please extinguish all cigarettes. Place your tray tables in their upright lock position. Your captain's.
Jazz has always been a stream through Big Ears, and it flows wide this year. Jazz legends like Henry Threadgill and Charles Lloyd being featured. As well as Tord Gustafson, Brad Meldow, Christian McBride, and more. One of the modern icons of jazz will be there, keyboardist Herbie Hancock. Thank you.
I think, you know, at this particular point, it's fair to say that Herbie Hancock is probably our greatest living jazz artist, you know, an artist whose six-decade career has encompassed not only so many stylistic innovations, but who has contributed really groundbreaking, masterful work to each of those stylistic innovations. You know, so you go back to the recordings that he made for Blue Note, the work that he did with Miles Davis, and then there's Headhunters. And then there's the forays into electronica like Rocket and Hip Hop, but also, you know, the tributes to Gershwin and Joni Mitchell. And, you know, there's just a breadth and depth to that work that is, you know, really remarkable. And I think, in my mind, speaks to the qualities that Big Ears wants to celebrate.
Love came to my door, the sleeping room, and a madman's soul. I thought for sure I'd seen him dancing up a river in the dark, looking for a woman to call.
Every year, Big Ears creates a lot of conflicts with its 200 or so performers across 4 days and 13 venues, separated at their extremes by 1 mile. That's a 25-minute walk. Concerts are happening simultaneously with staggered and overlapping start times, so it's impossible to hear everything. In the first hour of the festival alone, I have 3 conflicts between toward Gustafson, Henry Threadgill's Very Very Circus, or Zoe Keating, all running between 6 and 8 o'clock. So I asked Ashley what he would do. So, if you were an attendee and not the producer to Big Ears, what would your path be through the festival?
Oh.
Look at the schedule and tell me where you'd go.
You know, now you finally stuck me.
Yeah. Start on Thursday.
Okay. What would I do as an attendee on Thursday? I would be very tempted to go to see Just Charles, the Lamont Young piece. Although since I've seen it in New York, I might tend to focus on other things. You know, first of all, I don't really program the festival for me. I program it for multiple me's, you know, and so
there's only one you. You're not ducking this question because you don't program it for me either, and I have to make choices.
I don't know how to answer that question. I would get into the flow, but I would be very tempted to start with Henry Threadgill's Very, Very Circus, because that is a very rambunctious, high-energy affair, as the name implies. And from that, I would make my way through Blacktronica. I would definitely not overlook Secret Chiefs 3. I have to see Adrienne Linker because I think she is one of the great songwriters of her generation, and just already a major talent, but also one that's really thrilling to watch develop. Cradle, the earth was real. There's no way I can miss Charles Boyd. How am I going to do Adrienne Linker and Charles Lloyd with his all-star band? I'm working on the technology for that. That's all I could say.
You got to leave FOMO behind at Big Ears, I think.
That, to me, John, is the secret of the festival. And it's kind of an interesting metaphor for our, you know, world of distraction that we live in every day, where so many things are pulling you in so many different directions. You know, ultimately, satisfaction emerges from you know, being in the moment and completely engaged in whatever situation you happen to find yourself in.
Find yourself in a lot of situations at Big Ears Festival, taking place from March 21st to 24th in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can find out more at bigearsfestival.org. And if you want to see my projected path through Big Ears, look at my blog on the Echoes website at echoes.org in the reviews and commentary section. That's Echoes, echoes.org. Remember, FOMO will kill you at Big Ears Festival 2024. Ashley Capps talking with me about Big Ears 2024. There might still be tickets available for this amazing festival, and you'll find them at bigearsfestival.org. On the Echoes website, I wrote up my personal pathway through Big Ears 2024. That is up now under the reviews and commentary section at echoes.org. And I'll have reviews of Big Ears there and after the festival. I'm John DiLiberto. Thanks for taking this preview trip through Big Ears with me and for being with me to discover Quiet Resonance. Next week, I've got Kaleida. They're a fascinating American and British dream pop duo. This has been the Echoes Podcast from PRX. See you next week, tonight on the radio somewhere in the country, or at Echoes Online right now, or whenever you want.